Let's pray over the word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great and mighty promises you have given us in your word, this written word, Father God, that men and women gave their lives to give us, to get this written so we could sit here and read it. That you have put in a book of many books, Lord, about your plans and purposes for our life. And we thank you, Lord, as I thank you, Father God, for the anointing right now that is upon your word. And I thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, who has heard from Jesus and who will direct my lips today, Father God, that I will speak forth what you would have me to say, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to pick up and continue in week 3 about healing. Healing, and our keynote scripture was in Mark 7, verses 24 through 30, that healing is the children's bread. And as long as we live, we're always going to be God's kids, his children, because he is Father God. And just a quick summary of the last week or two that we talked about, that we begin, healing begins in faith. Anything we receive from God, faith begins where the will of God is known. We must establish the will of God in Scripture, then, like Kelsey talked about, be confident in that faith, confident in that prompt, confident in God that what he said he will do. And then how we learn God's will. We finished up last week, we were talking about we learn it three ways. We learn it from the Scripture, which is the written word, the Lord's last will and testament in the New Testament. Jesus, this is his last will and testament, and it's finished. Amen? It's finished. We want to know God's will and plan. It might not answer every question you could particularly say in that manner, but it will answer what you're dealing with in life. You know, a lot of people want to make a question that you can't actually literally, physically see it in the Bible, but it's there because it's in Christ. Our future is hid in Christ. I'm talking about the way they would word it. How to learn God's will? We learn it from the Scripture, from the written word. We learn his will from the Holy Spirit, who is on the inside of us. No longer do we lean toward the prophet 100%. See, that prophet, in the Old Testament, they had to rely on the prophet, that king did, because he was the man that heard from God. But now, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God in you, directing you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we take that prophet and we take his teaching. We hang on to that. He's there to warn us, direct us, and guide us. What he's hearing from God, that's the fivefold ministry. But we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we're dealing in, we're talking about healing. So see, that's a good point right there we're going to get to, that if I'm battling something in my body, I don't have to wait till the prophet gets to town to get what I need. I've got what I need on the inside of me. Now, I might need others to agree with me and pray with me, because I'm battling things in my mind. I'm having a hard time hearing what's on the inside because of my mind and this pain I might be dealing with, or the money, or whatever has been set before me. We got to get quiet. Rest. We got to labor to enter into that rest, which is Jesus, the Sabbath rest. We have to labor to enter into that promise, into the promised land. And that's the battle. That's the fight we got to fight. And we're talking about healing. The other way, Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and then the ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. And God has anointed me at this time and season to teach you about faith. Amen? Faith, I asked Kelsey, what is the currency of heaven? See, we think, our mind thinks money, but faith is the currency of heaven. See, the streets are paved with gold. We don't need the gold to buy anything. We walk on it when we get to heaven. We run on it. We dance on it. We lay on it. But we operate in faith in heaven just like we do down here, because God is a God of faith. And we're created in his image and in his likeness. And when we get to heaven, we're going to still be faith people. Amen?
Amen.
We ain't going to have to deal with this flesh anymore. It's going to be dealt with. It's been bought with a price. And Jesus is going to, the Holy Spirit is going to make it alive. It's all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye. And we ain't going to have to deal with that flesh anymore. But until then, we've got to deal with it. And Jesus did not leave us orphans or helpless. He left us the Holy Spirit, another comforter, another helper. And if we don't need help, we're deceiving ourselves, right? We need help. We need help. So what the Lord gave me for today, and I think it's going to be enough probably for 2 weeks, because when God gives you something, and I've got to be more disciplined, because I like to, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I like to either go get me a little snack and then get right back into bed and go to sleep. Because when I wake up, I'm like, I'm supposed to be asleep. But God speaks to you. He spoke to me this morning and gave me something else for this message. And what did I do? Went back to sleep. I purposed to sleep. And I was like, man, that's good, God. I remember speaking out of my mouth. Man, that is good, God. That's awesome. And I woke up this morning. I cannot remember. I couldn't get it back. I'm like, no. And I said, Lord, and you speak it by faith to you. I believe it. I said, Lord, give it back to me. And it hasn't came. But I said, and I apologize. I said, Lord, forgive me. Next time I will get up and I will write it down. Because see, that was precious. He gave me something. And he'll give it back to me. But he's teaching me something here. If you want it, get up. Go get it. Don't go back to sleep. Don't be lazy. Don't be like the world. Keep on sleeping. Because, see, that's a lot of times at night, that's when people is resting, they're asleep. But the devil's at work. You know, God never sleeps nor slumber, and the devil don't either. He's out there trying to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose. But Jesus had another plan for him. Amen. He came. Jesus had another purpose too. And he fulfilled that purpose to destroy the works of the devil. And he destroyed them. And we got to enforce that work that he did. And we're talking about healing. And that's how Jesus loved to destroy the work of sickness, disease, poverty. Because the Bible, the whole New Testament is full of what Jesus, and if books could be written, libraries could not hold the things that he did that we can't even put in this book. That Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John couldn't even remember all the things. They just, what they had, they wrote and it got put in a book. But there's more. There's more. Amen. And there's probably more people on the earth now than there were back then. So there's a lot more. Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works shall you do. Maybe it's because there's going to be a lot more people on the earth. I don't know. But he said greater works. So let's just focus on destroying the works of the devil. Whether it's great, little, just make that a purpose. Amen. And sickness and disease is one of our purposes that he has birthed the church. Our key foundation, and we talked about this Wednesday night in our discipleship evangelism course, but I want to read this scripture again because it's important. The key foundation for receiving anything, we're concentrating on healing today. The key foundation for receiving anything from the Lord starts with the integrity of his word. Of his word. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to fail you. In this flesh, there's going to be times I'm going to fail you. But love, God, never fails. This word never fails. We've got to know that and know that and know that. No matter where we stand, no matter where our family stands, our closest friends that are battling sickness, disease, and we know the word, we've got to know where we stand. The integrity of God's word. We can't look at what we see, what we hear, what we feel. The definition of integrity is a quality of being honest and fair. Honest and fair. The state of being complete or whole. I want to live in that state. I said, we want to live in that state. The state of being complete or whole. Let's get there. Let's call it the faith state. Amen. We'll call it the faith state. That's where God lives. He preached in faith boats, right? This word is full of power. It's full of character. And it's full of faith. Hebrews, whole chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, talks about the men and women of great faith. Chapter 12. Chapter 13, because you're faith people. Chapter 14, chapter 15, the book goes on. See, you're a part of that clan. You're a part of the faith tribe. Amen? You're one of his favorites. We're one of God's favorites. He's looking to get his favor to us. It's always, say always, always God's will to heal. They asked that question to Jesus. The man came down and came and fell at the feet of Jesus and said, "Lord, if it be thy will, you can make me clean." Jesus didn't say, "Wait a minute, I'll get back to you on that. Let me check with my disciples. Let me check with the scribes and the Pharisees and see it. Wait a minute, let's see if it's the Sabbath day." No, he said, "I will be thou clean." Amen. See, because the Father was in him doing the work. Father God says healing. Because Jesus said, "I always hear and I always do what the Father tells me to do. Be healed." Amen. Always his will. Be healed in Jesus' name. That shouldn't even be a question. But it's going to pop up in our lives because the devil's always there to try to remind you of why you're not healed. What did Kelsey say? "Where are you at? You're supposed to be under my feet or behind me. Satan, get behind me. That's not God's will. That's not God's plan for me. His plan for me is that I live a long and satisfied life. I'm one of his kids. I'm going to partake of the table, the bread of life." Say, "The bread of life." Healing is the children's bread. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. It's always God's will to heal, but we have to make sure that we know the laws of faith. Because, see, that's where we can get off base, get off course. And I've heard it said this way, error in the body of Christ always comes in two ways. Either you're in one side of the ditch or you're in the other side of the ditch. You either take faith to the extreme, to where if I don't have it, it's because of my faith. Or you take it to the lowest part, where whatever it will, whatever God's will, let it be. That's where you get into error. God is sovereign, but according to the power that works, his power that works in me. See, I've got a part to play. Faith is my part. Grace is God's part. And if we get those two out of balance, we ain't going to be walking right. We ain't going to be talking right. We're not going to be feeling right in our body. It's never God's fault. It's our fault. We just throw the devil out of the... If we don't let the devil in, it's still our fault for letting him in. A lot of times we're trying to blame the devil when it's really just our fault. If we'll just be honest, have integrity, and say, "Lord, like I did this morning, Lord, forgive me. It was my fault I didn't get out of the bed. The devil didn't have me strapped down. That's my flesh saying, sleep, sleep. Sleep. When God has some faith for me, I need to get up there and eat that breakfast this morning." And when it comes, it's going to be a series. When it comes back, we're going to have another series because I'm going to get up. I'm going to write it down. Hallelujah. I've heard some of the testimonies of Kenneth E. Hagin, God having Jesus appearing to him and speaking something to him in a very short time. And this whole... all the teachings came from those God moments, those God encounters, books and series. See, one word from God, Kenneth Copeland said, this can change your life. A lot of people don't believe that. It's because they don't know the integrity. They don't value his word like we do. Amen? One word. One word. Jesus said to Peter, "Come. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." Come, Peter. That was enough power in that word for him to walk on water. Amen? Amen. Amen. One word from God can change your life. Amen. Take them to that scripture, they don't believe it. Jesus said, "Come." Peter was in agreement. He put a demand on Jesus, and he didn't give him no excuse. I mean, Jesus couldn't lie. It's not me, Peter. No, come. Peter didn't give him nothing but, "Hey, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come out there." Guess what? If Lewis would have been in the boat, if Terry would have been in the boat, and they would have said, "Jesus, can we come? If it's you, can we?" They all could have walked on. They could have danced on the water. If Jesus said so. Because there's power in his word. See, the Holy Spirit was in him. Remember in the beginning, the Holy Spirit hovered on the face of the deep. Jesus was just walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he was hovering. Jesus, there was hovercraft way before our time. Jesus was a hovercraft. He was hovering on the face of the deep, of Galilee, Sea of Galilee, but he was hovering because he had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. He was God. Amen. If God needed to save somebody to walk on the water, he would hover. He would walk on the water. He parted the Red Sea. Is it too difficult for God to walk on the water? Job might have a problem with that. We know the end of the story about Job. He believes. Right? Lord, he repented in sackcloth and ashes. Sometimes we just say, Lord, forgive me. There's something I don't understand here, Lord. Show me where I'm missing it concerning healing. Because I know it's your will that we be healed. The pastor doesn't have all the questions, but he's doing real good at it. But Jesus, you know all things. And you have given me the comfort of the Holy Spirit who will show me all things to come and all things that I'm dealing with. We just got to get at peace, got to get at rest. And then when he speaks, don't be like the pastor and sleep. When he speaks, that small, still voice, and you know it's God. Because there's rest in it. There's peace. There's power in it. There's character. There's integrity in it. It's no lie. There's no deception. There's no if it is or if it ain't. It's just the pure word of God. Get up and write that down. And then do your concordance. Do a search. Do a word search. Do what you got to do. Right? To find out what God means here, because that's your way out. That's your escape. That's your door. Jesus is the door. When he comes in, I got to get up. I got to wake up and get up and shut up and get my ears and listen up. What would you say, Lord? What would you have your servant to do? Here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. We got to know the laws of faith and how they operate. I'm not a licensed electrician. But I work for General Electric, and I've ran into some situations to where the law of electricity let me know it was active and alive. And I'm still here because of the Spirit of God on the inside of me is protecting me from my stupidity. I mean, when you grab a hold of a 220 line just because you didn't unplug the dryer and you feel this surge hitting you, it ain't the Holy Ghost. It ain't the Holy Ghost. It's time to let go. Let go and thank God. Thank you, Jesus. That was stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But it wasn't just me. I mean, I was... The dryer was unplugged. It was supposed to not be used till I get back. But a lot of your customers don't listen to you. You tell them not to use the dryer, they plug it back up and they use it. And it's a safety hazard, especially to the technician when he gets back. Expects it to be unplugged, goes to work on it, grabs the line, and it's plugged in. 220 volts. Ah, Lord. Thank you. It's shocking. It was shocking. But thank God he protects us in our stupidity. Talking about the laws of faith, it will work every time. Just like the law of electricity. It's invisible, but it's there. It's working. Amen. You don't believe me? Go plug it in, turn the light on. Oh, the kid's gone. I wouldn't say stick a fork in there. You don't want to do that. Plug your lamp and turn the light on if you don't believe me. It's working. That's to keep them safe, Lewis, right? We'll keep our kids safe out there. Don't do what daddy heard his daddy, his mama say. The laws of faith. We got to know how they work and how they operate. God cannot lie. I think we don't all have a problem, don't understand that. He cannot and will not lie. But he will heal. Amen. He will heal. According to your faith, be it unto you. Do you believe God will heal? That's the key right there. Because if you don't believe it, Jesus said, he even went to his hometown preaching. This same gospel he was preaching right here that was causing people to walk on water, was causing the blind eyes to open. He went to his own town of Nazareth and they said, is this Jesus, the carpenter's son? His sisters and his brothers grew up here? No, he can't be doing it. No, I can't believe that. And Jesus said, I could therefore do no mighty works except I laid my hands on a few sick folk because of their unbelief. Not because Jesus' will was not to heal them. It was because they did not want. They couldn't, not that they didn't want, but they couldn't believe this was happening through Jesus. See, don't look at me as your source. Look at God in me as your source. To your pastor, to the fivefold ministries. And I remember me and my wife, we was hungry for God. We still are. We're just getting a lot more full of Him, you can tell. That's a joke. But I can remember we was going from meeting to meeting, not because we were church hopping. We was just hungry. Evangelist, I think, Terrence Rose. I'm not sure what fivefold ministry gifts he's in now, but I mean, we had never been around the power of God and seen the manifestations of the Spirit of God. We were brought up in denominations, but we just didn't see that. That didn't mean that it wasn't there. I had never plugged myself into a church like that before and received the manifestation of God's power. Power. There's power in His Word. And man, I got set free. I got my back healed. And man, was getting our needs met. And we was getting out of debt. You don't think I wouldn't be at that church? No, we were finding, if we wasn't there, we was finding where it was at. Where He was at. Where God was at. Where somebody that believed God was teaching. This stuff works. But you can't try it. You can't try the faith stuff. You can't try it. Because it won't work. You got to do it. Believe it and do it. And the doing is when it works. And the stepping, Kenneth Hagin is a prime example. He was 16-year-old and bedfast for a year and a half. 16. Bedfast for a year and a half. Couldn't get out of the bed until he read Mark 11, 23 and 24 and believed what it said. He said the pastors that came to see him, prayed for him. This was their prayer. It'd be all right, Sunday boy, a couple more days, it'd be all over. That wasn't faith. Well, it was faith that he knew where he was going. He believed in Jesus. Just a few more days, son. I think we wrote a lot of songs about that. And it'll all be over. Just a little more suffering till you get on to glory. Kenneth didn't accept that. As a 16-year-old boy, he read, and he just couldn't, something in him just didn't settle. And what it was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was hovering. The Holy Ghost was hovering. He was working. He saw the future. He saw Ken's future, but he had to get Ken and had to get him to agree with it and believe it. And he believed, but then he did something. He acted upon it. He took his old skinny legs and threw them out of the bed one morning. The devil was talking to him too. And he stood up. And he said it wasn't until he stood up that the power hit him. He started feeling a tingling. He said it was hurting. It was a tingling because he never felt it. He was paralyzed. He had a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease. And was going to... The devil was going to take him on out of here. But God. Say, but God. He passed. He lived a prosperous life. Preached the gospel for over 50, 60 years. Went on to be with the Lord 2003 and 2004. And I got to read some of his books. Teach My People Faith is what God has given me and Sherry. Me and my wife. And it came from the backside of that book. That was the same purpose and vision that he had for Kenneth E. Hagin. Go teach my people about faith. So that means a lot of his people don't know about faith. They know about Jesus and the Word, but it's faith in the Word that changes things. My faith that God has given me. It's not my faith, it's His. And it comes when I hear. Faith comes by hearing. And I take that faith that I hear, not that faith that I have heard from my family. What I hear, and if I activate on it, it's going to happen. You better hang on. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's the integrity of God's Word. And we're talking about healing. There's laws of faith. God cannot lie. That's a law. You need to know that. If He said it, He'll do it. He cannot lie. So we have to receive the way He set up the creation. We have to receive His Word. The way He set those laws up. Not the laws of Isaac Newton. The laws of Jehovah. The laws of Jehovah. See, Isaac Newton didn't create gravity. What was it? Was it gravity? Help me out. Huh? The apple fell from the tree. That's Isaac Newton, right? Hit him on the head. That was a law of gravity. But see, he didn't create that. He discovered that. God had already created that law before he even thought about Isaac Newton putting him on this earth. If God hadn't have thought about it, we wouldn't be here. We'd be floating. See, God knew all these elements had to be working. See, there's, help me here, I can say this in tongues. There's metals in your body, iron. Anybody that's taken all this, Kelsey could probably help me out here. There's all kind of iron and minerals, here we go, minerals in your body. And there's the core of the earth is there's a magnetic pull. This is how machines operate, by a magnetic pull. Positive, negative, you put magnets in there and copper in there, and all things move and work. It's called electricity, but this is how we're held on this planet. There's a magnetic pull, and we got that stuff in us that God put in us, and the earth keeps us here on the ground. Amen? See, God designed all that. I can't understand. I could go study it, or I could just go to Him, because He knows the laws and how all of it operates. I better hurry up. I got 15 minutes to get to where I need us to go. Laws of faith. God's will to heal, settle it. It is His will to heal you. Amen. And we'll take it a step further. It is His will, and He has healed you. Amen. 2,000 years ago, give or take a few years, when Jesus hung on that cross, before He hung, He was striped on His back. By those stripes, you were healed. It's what Peter said. I am. Because the I am lives on the inside of you and me. Let's go to Luke 8, and I'm going to read Luke 8. This is talking about the sower sows the word, but I'm going to read it real quick because you need to hear it. These are keys to receiving your healing or receiving anything from God. Luke 8, verse 4 through 18. Jesus, given this parable, it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they would have come to Him from every city, they came to Him from every city, He spoke by a parable." Verse 5, "A sower went to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some seed fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It had no root in it. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and they choked it. But others fell on good ground. Other seed fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. Now, if you'll read the Gospels, if you'll read the same account in Matthew and in Mark, Luke's the only one that just said 100. The other one said, and Jesus said 30, 60, 100-fold. Jesus said it sprang up some 30, some 60, some 100. That's what Jesus said. But Luke just said 100. I think Luke was one, he was hungry for the 100-fold. He forgot the 30 and 60. He said, and some sprang up 100-fold. See, that's what he had his affection. He had it on the 100-fold. When you're receiving healing, you need 100-fold. You need 100% health, healing. You don't need 30. You don't need 60. You need 100. I need 100, Lord. 100% on this test. You need 100-fold return. And when he had said these things, he cried. Jesus cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Open your ears this morning. Not your paddles on your head. I'm talking about your heart. Open your ears this morning. Verse 11. "Now the parable is this," Jesus said. "The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Undoubtedly, they were unbelievers. They heard, but they didn't believe. The seed got right out of there. "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they heard, they received the word with joy, danced a little bit about it, praised a little bit, but they had no root. They went home and they just forgot all that good stuff they heard at church. They had no joy. They had no root. They had joy, but they had no root. And they believed for a while, and in time, temptation, they fall away." Verse 14, "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who they have heard, they go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life." Thorns, those are thorns. Paul had a thorn in his side. It was because of people attacking him for the word, persecuting him for the word, because they didn't have the word. They were thorns in his side. "But the ones that fell on good ground," say good ground, good ground, "are those who, having heard," faith comes by hearing, and hearing, they having heard the word with a noble, see, we're getting to the integrity now, integrity of God's word. "They heard the word with a noble and a good heart, an honest and sincere heart. They keep it and bear fruit with patience. Kelsey was talking about this morning about being confident and doing something. She talked about it just to mean just not doing anything. Being patient is being in faith for a long period of time. That means you're not just sitting around twiddling. No, you're activating your faith as long as it takes. Because God's word said it's true and the devil's fighting me. My flesh is fighting me. My brain is fighting me. Whatever's fighting me, God is for me. He's already won the battle, and I'm going to fight this fight, and I'm going to fight it. Because it's mine. Jesus died for me, bled for me, and said I could have it. I think I need to go on and read here. What verse did I end up by? I end up on 16? 15. Let's look at 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. That's all I want you to know out of that scripture right there. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel. God has put his light, his power on the inside of you. Put it on a lampstand. Read it. Get up and read it. Speak it. Speak it. See it. Read it. Because, see, it's alive. It's precious. It's noble. It's honorable. It has power. It has character in it. Don't let it dim out. No, you keep it lit. You keep it before the frontlet of your eyes. We keep speaking it out of our mouths because it's life to those that find it. And it's health to all their flesh. All their flesh. Anything your flesh is dealing with, the Word of God is medicine and it's health to you. It's healing to you. It's the children's bread. It's bread for you. I wish I'd put this on a PowerPoint. Just talk about the seed is the word. The seed is the promises of God. If you could just draw this on a PowerPoint. It's the promises of God. He promised sight to the blind. He promised those that could not hear the deaf that they would hear. To the mute, that the eyes of those would be enlightened, that they would see, hear. He healed all manner of sickness. All manner. That covers it. All manner. All manner of sickness. And sickness has no manners. It doesn't care. The devil doesn't care if you're a nice person, you're the best person, or you're the worst person. Sickness has no manners. The devil doesn't care about you. All he cares about is himself. And everything that he has is rotting and decaying, and he's trying to give it to you and give it to me. We don't want it. Jesus said, "Worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I worship." We're not going to give him no worship, no praise, like we said this morning, right? He had it and didn't like it. He was the praise and worship angel, and he didn't like it. He wanted something else, and he got what he wanted, nothing. Amen? Because if you don't want what God gives you, you might as well settle with nothing. Because everything he's given you is his best. He gave Lucifer his best. He was the best angel, praise and worship angel, but it wasn't good enough for him. And it cost him everything he had, everything he was. We're not that people. The seed is the promises of the Word of God. Your heart, if that God's Word, once it's got to get planted in your heart. Think about the seed. What do you want? Got your seed packet? Any farmers in here, when you plant seed, you go to the store. If they didn't have a picture of that tomato in the seed packet and you just grabbed a seed, you wouldn't know what you'd get. You'd get stuff you didn't even want to eat. See, they had to put a picture on that package. I want a tomato seed, a cucumber. I like okra. I like squash. There's a picture on that packet. Lets you know what that seed's going to be. No, it's not going to become. It is. See, when God sees things, it is. When he put the seed in there, he knew what it is. He didn't have to guess at it. He knew what you are. You healed in Jesus' name. See, what do you need? What picture do you need today? Okay, you need to find that picture seed in the Word of God. And then you got to plant it. Not out in your yard. You got to plant it in your heart. See, that's the next thing. The laws to the kingdom is you take the promises of God and you put it in your heart. And there's a lot in here. Your heart's big. It can handle all you need. You got a big garden in your heart. What do you need? What are you pitching? What do you need, Terry? What do you need, Larry? What do you need, Vicky? What do you need? Get a picture of it. Find it in the Word. Plant it in your heart. Seed, time. Here comes the time we don't want to hear. Here comes the patience. Seed, time. See, Michelle and Mark, they've been wanting a house for a long time. See, they've been planting. They've been giving to the house of the Lord. Harvest time has came. It's come up. You see it now. You see that house. We see that house. We moving in. Somebody, if somebody's there, they got to move out because we moving in. It's harvest time. We moving in. Glory to God. Get the U-Hauls ready. See, we've been preparing what we're going to put in that house. God prepared Jesus before he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He knew what you needed today. He prepared him before he even came into a body to give you all that you need. He prepared that seed. He prepared healing. He prepared provision. He prepared salvation, everlasting life, before he even gave his life. That's God. That's God. Hallelujah. Time. We've got to spend some time in the Word. Okay, get the seed. Get that promise in your heart. Now this is going to bother you. It bothers me. You don't have to understand it. Once you put it in your heart, what I say is you don't have to understand how it's going to work. Because the devil come and stole those that didn't understand the Word. He stole that from them. But what he was talking about, they didn't believe it. See, I believe it. Once you believe it and put it in your heart, don't worry about how it's going to happen. In other words, I didn't say that prayer right, Lord. My healing's not, it's affected. No. You take the promises of God. Jesus said, I will. Be thou healed. That's enough for you to receive anything you need. Now, I'm not saying you still need to put more seed in there. Because you're going to water it by faith. But you get the seed in there. Don't, when you put the tomato seed in the ground, do you tell the ground, now you root, you go down 5 more inches? No, you ain't low enough. You got to go further. Earth, you give it more water. No, you don't tell the earth what to do. God created the soil. It knows what to do. We don't tell God what to do. We say, thank you, Jesus, for doing it. Amen. Now, God, however you want to do it, however you want to receive the glory, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to water it with my praise. Amen. Lord, I'm receiving my healing because you healed me. Jesus, your blood has healed me. What do you need? I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm moving in. Healing's moving in. Sickness, you moving out. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Don't try to figure out how. Just praise him for it. Thank him for it. See, that's you're believing the integrity of his word. All manner of sickness. All manner of disease. And then the fruit. Then the harvest. Seed, time, harvest. What are we believing for? Hundredfold. Hundredfold. Luke, don't need 30, don't need 60. I need a hundredfold. He done forsook all for Jesus. He said, if Jesus said a hundredfold, that's what I'm getting. If Jesse the Plantis was up here, he said, hundredfold. Jesus, he wouldn't even hear 30, 60. He said, hundredfold. Hundredfold. And he's reaping it too. Because he believes God. Hallelujah. This is how you receive anything from God. But concerning healing, it's the children's bread. Healing is your bread. And as Dallas gets us a song this morning, just to worship anything, just to worship. Don't look to me this morning. I've just given you what God impressed me to give you this morning. I'm here to encourage you. I've brought you the word this morning, speaking life to you this morning. He did the work. And it's a complete, finished work.